Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for having me here tonight. I appreciate Pastor Favor for having me. Can you just lift your hands toward heaven? Talk to the Lord from the depths of your heart. There's a point where the voice of man vanishes and you begin to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. That is the point where your life begins to have definition and bearing. If all you hear is the voice of man, you will be trapped. You will be locked out. You will be separated from the chambers of divinity where the value system of humankind is defined. If all you know and hear is the voice of men, you will live by the ideologies of men and you will not know the power of the Holy Spirit. And you ask the Lord tonight to whisper into your spirit man. There is a definite spiritual intelligence that designed the DNA coding of your spirit man. And until you begin to interact with the fountains of the spirit from whence the intelligence for your design came from, your life will not translate to meaning. That is why we labor to enter into the rest, where we can hear the voice of him that is eternal. Because until you hear him, you will be a wanderer on the face of the earth. Can you ask the Lord to minister to you tonight? Rafras, Karyanatala, Sibris Kabrahalisk. Draska vrados ke brehili kahiza zalash. Bratadash korundre afok se brehila manda. Helikaba zizi la hasina hashka brahananata. O rehena shkabe la hazi atune la hazina haste. Cause us to soar higher in the spirit. Cause us to gain heights in the spirit. To come to that still place where we can hear your voice. Lelehali Haziza Pararia Tennis Obre Sahalila Haniata. Ore Nahazavela Matalia Natali Parakaza Zalila Haita Yele Lakumes Kefrahati Parila Somrenaha. Ila mama Natala Kaya Raina Skabes Obras Cabrenita Zalagata Imarakata Paparutia Uli Faya Pale Pamata. Come deep within. Spirit, come take over. Holy fire, burn upon my altar. Choir, help me.
Come on, fire, burn upon my altar. From within me, Spirit, you take
over. I lift your hands toward heaven, I'm soaring the spirit.
Holy fire, burn upon my altar.
Zila Bahayata.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. We come tonight full of expectations. We ask, oh God, that you will animate your word in our spirits. We ask, oh God, that by the strength of the supply of your spirit tonight, every one of us will journey from the place of feebleness into a place of strength. And that your will become clearer. And on the strength of that direction that we receive from your spirit, every man will begin to walk in his or her ordination. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. God bless you. There is a definite intelligence that governs every possibility and operation in the spirit. Spiritual things don't happen haphazardly. Spiritual things don't happen by chance. There is a definite intelligence that makes for their orchestration. And tonight, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we are going to be looking at certain definites that every Christian that wants to amount to kingdom relevance must give himself to, in order for dimensions that are consistent with his or her ordination to begin to find expression. If you don't consistently align with this laid down intelligence of God that governs the operation of spiritual realities, you will not amount to anything in God. We are in a generation that is deceived. A lot of people bank on titles because they feel that things added to them will give them relevance. You can manipulate your way to the top in a system, even in a church setting. But in this kingdom, only God makes men. And for you to be relevant with God, there are definite things that your life must be committed to daily. If those things are absent in your life, forget it. You will realize someday that you are gray-headed and all the things you dreamt of have not come to pass. Give me floating sound. They are definite in this kingdom. Nothing happens here by chance. Nothing happens here by luck. Everything that happens here is orchestrated by spirit entities. And it is your partnership with those spirits that will cause for the manifestation of those things in your life. Titles don't make men. In fact, when God wants to make a man, he gives him a name. And everything you add to that name condescends that man. Reverend Gideon Odoma was the one that said, when God wants to make a man, he gives him a name. Whatever it is you add to Jesus, you reduce the value. Because the name Jesus is enough. That's how God makes men. But there is a rigid protocol in the spirit that you must follow to come to that point where God will give you a name. Many are pursuing after titles and they are not adding value to their lives. Many are pursuing after titles and they are not adding values to the life of people. They are not making impact in the life of people. They think by titles they can become. It's a deception from the devil. There are definite things you must commit your life to every day. If you don't come to the point of making the decision to committing your life to those rigid spiritual infrastructures, even the messages will count for nothing. And I told you in the morning that spirituality is not a function of emotions. A lot of people have reduced spirituality to feelings. So because you came, you wept, you fell on the floor, you rolled everywhere, you thought you had an encounter. Go and read the scriptures. The people that had encounters, it was not defined by their fallings.
most of the times is the instructions they receive, the empowerments they receive, were the things that made the difference in their lives. And that is why it becomes imperative for you to look at the lives of the people that the Lord have single-handedly picked, the people God have molded, the people God have defined their life, and find out the organics of the operation of God in their lives and follow the patterns that they have created. The secrets of men are locked up in their stories. When the scriptures speak about patriarchs, it's not just speaking about them because you need to know about their exploits. Their life is a window through which you can tap into dimensions in glory. And if you know the things they did and you commit your life to the same, the things that worked in their own life will begin to work in you. Because the strategy of the kingdom is for glory to be transferred from generation to generation. Paul said to Timothy, he said, the things you have learned from me, he said, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. God is not anointing new apostles from heaven. God is not anointing new prophets from heaven. There is a corridor that many people have crafted in the spirit. If you find it and you walk in it, you will enter into the gate of the apostolic. But you need to have understanding and commitment to the things that makes for a difference in this kingdom. We are a race of irresponsible people. Nobody takes responsibility for life. Nobody takes responsibility for territories. But people want to wake up one day and become something. It doesn't happen like that. Check the lives of the patriarchs. I showed you in the morning how that there is a definite protocol for arriving at the presence of God. The presence of God is not a reality that stumbles on you. You walk there by the help of the Holy Ghost. We saw all of those dynamics in the morning, how that through absolute surrender, you yield to the Holy Ghost that carries you to the presence. A lot of people are Christians today, but all they know is the revelation of Jesus. They have not known the revelation of the cross, so the flesh is still strong in their lives. They have not known the revelation of the person of the Holy Spirit and His sanctifying power, so sin is still Lord over them. They have not understood the revelation of the Word of God, so their life have not yet been redefined by the music that comes from the womb of the Spirit. They have not had the revelation of the illuminating power of God, so they don't know the mind of God for their lives. And that is why it's impossible for their lives to provide worship to God. It's a dynamics in the Spirit of accessing the presence of God. The same way for you to make impact when you have come to the presence, you must commit your life to certain definites to keep you in the presence and to get you running exploits for God so that the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our God. It's not enough to get into the presence. It's not enough to come to the mountain. When you come to the womb of the presence, there are definite protocols that you must follow for you to live from then on, so that you will become an extension of God. There are many people today who are not extensions of God. That's why in your family, darkness is having a few days. That's why on your campuses, darkness is having a few days. The day you come into the presence and you understand how to walk from there, your life and your world will be colonized for Jesus. It is for this very reason that Jesus sends weaknesses into this world. There are definites. If we want to go through the scriptures, we will find over 1,000 of them. So the easiest way to summarize the things that makes for relevance in this kingdom is to look through the vents of the lives of the patriarchs. Tonight I want to show you what I call the way of the patriarchs. How did these men live their lives that they were so popular among the immortals? Stephen is about to be stoned, and suddenly everything in heaven loses alignment, and Jesus rises upon his throne to bring intervention. What did these men do that they were so popular in heaven that they walked on earth and heaven was mindful of them? There were some of them that if you touch, a legion of angels will be mobilized. How do men become so popular in Zion? What do men do that make them become so relevant in the kingdom of God that even Jesus himself will have to migrate from his throne in order to bring intervention because someone was being touched? Whereas there are places where a whole village is burnt down, nothing happens. You see that God has become biased and unjust. There are protocols. Smith Wigglesworth say, a man who yields himself to God in obedience, God can leave a million people and come to that man. Have you not understood why you pray for your mother? You are weeping over the night, but she still dies. Meanwhile, somebody has just passed through your family and they say, be healed. And the crisis, the plague rolls away.
there is a strategic operation that have been put in place to give you relevance among the immortals. Not many understand it, and few know it, but they don't commit themselves to it. That is why we are a people of talk. We read a lot of things from different places and we come to talk because we think it's about making impression before men. Even if the whole world claps for you, it will not make you popular in the spirit. Because number in this side has no value in eternity. It is stature and ranking that makes the difference. That's why one man can be more important to God than a nation. What are the things that you must do to become relevant in this kingdom? There is a kingdom to move forward. There is a territory to take over. And the people heaven is looking up to is you and I. Unfortunately, Paul will not come back. A lot of people quote men like Archbishop Benson Idahosa. They quote men like Babalola. They will not come back. The Bible said David, after he has served his generation, according to the will of the Lord, he rested. They have served their generation. You are the one in your generation now. What will you bring on the table? It is called the way of the patriarchs. People that understood that life is not a function of living for appetites. Life is a function of impact that is made because a man has become a gate and a gangway through which the dimensions of heaven can be seen on the earth. People that have understood that of necessity, they must submit their lives as a sacrifice so that whatever it is God wants to do in the land can be done. It doesn't matter if they lose their families. It doesn't matter if they lose their jobs. It doesn't matter if they lose their ambitions and their vision. So long as the will of the Father can be done in the territory they have lived their lives. For them, life is not run on the economy of possession. Life is run on the economy of the will of God that can find expression through them. Their life is a bandwidth that reveals the possibility of God breaking into a territory. One man can come to a territory and everything turns around because that man had become a dead man walking on the street. Once upon a time, he had ambitions. Once upon a time, he had goals. Once upon a time, he had dreams. But he confronted the spirit and the spirit broke him. So his visions died. His ambitions died. Every time he speaks the mind of that spirit. Everywhere he shows up, he has only one agenda. What it is in the heart of that spirit is what he lives for. Such a man is rare, and very few of them are walking in this world. But the essence of the gospel is to bring you to that point where you become that man that heaven can rely on. For Jacob, God searched the whole world. The blessings of God that needed to be trafficked to all generations was resting only on Jacob, because Isaac has transferred the Abrahamic covenant unto Jacob. The Abrahamic blessing had been transferred unto Jacob, but this was a man of the flesh. Heaven was stranded, because if Jacob does not carry that dimension, there will be no Israel. And if there is no Israel, the possibility of the new Jerusalem cannot be born. This was a man of flesh. What will God do about this man? That is what is the definition of most of our lives. Some of you are the only prophets and priests that your family will ever have. God have looked 5 generations from now. Nobody has that destiny of rising as a prophet. You are the only one. And prophets rise in that family once in 10 years. Here you are, and you are living for your appetite. Heaven is troubled. Every day you go to the club, heaven is troubled. Every day the Holy Ghost say pray, and you go watching movies, heaven is troubled. Because if you don't rise, it will take another 10 years of bondage. Did you not read about the Israelites? God spoke to Abraham. He said they will be in captivity for 400 years. It was 390 years. Nobody rose. And because Moses delayed for extra 30 years, the whole nation was in bondage and captivity for another 30 years because of one man. Moses did not rise, so people suffered. In 30 years, many died of hunger. In 30 years, many were plagued in Egypt because the rise of Moses was delayed. Here was Jacob, the custodian of the Abrahamic blessing, living for his flesh. So the Lord needed to show up and wrestle with him all through the night until he broke his tie-bone. God is not a breaker of men. He is the maker of men. But when matters of ordination are concerned, sometimes the Lord will touch your thigh bone so that the bone will break and your confidence will give way and you will rely on him. That was why the guy began to lean on his staff. And when he leaned on the staff, the Bible said, as a prince, thou had power with God and had prevailed. The protocol of relevance in the kingdom is the secret of the ways of the patriarchs. They mastered this. They knew it. They understand it. And they live by this. None of them live for themselves. They wanted to please the one that called them. Paul said, no man that worried entangled himself with civilian affairs. His goal is to please the will of the one that have called him to be an army.
Irresponsibility is the undoing of this generation. Irresponsibility. See young people come talking, I'm a prophet, I'm this, I'm that, but nothing to show for it. When you come close to their life, it stinks. Living in secret sin, hypocrisy, pride, arrogance, all kinds of demonic characters manifested through just one man. And he thinks it's all about bragging with titles. What do men do to become relevant in this kingdom? Let's look at the window of the life of the patriarchs. The Bible said, "Hearken unto me, all ye that loveth righteousness and fear the name of the Lord." Isaiah 51 verse 1 and 2. He said, "Look unto the rock from whence you were hewn, and the pit from whence you were dug." He said, "Look unto Abraham thy father, and unto Sarah thy body, for I have called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him." So God is telling us, in order to understand how to walk in the dimensions of glory that the fathers walk, look into their lives, check them out, search them, find out what did they do, what did God tell them, how did they walk their life every day. In Romans 15 verse 4, he said the things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. He said the things that were written unto them, they were written for us as an example, unto whom the end of the ages come. How did the patriarchs live their lives that they were so popular in heaven? A man can stand up and say, "Let there be no rain or dew according to my word." Do you know how many people are in that nation? And heaven backs it up. He ordered the seasons. It doesn't matter what God put in place as rainy season or dry season. He said, "There shall be no rain or dew according to my word." And the seasons obey him. How do they become so mighty? Joshua will rise. Because the Gibeonites called him to help them. It was not even part of their assignment. They just called him. They say, "We are in trouble. Help us." And Joshua went to help that nation. And because it was becoming late, he said, "Let the sun stand upon the mountains of Gibeah, and let the moon remain upon the valley of Ajalon." And he said, "If the sun did not make haste to go down for a period of about a whole day." And he said, "There have never been a day like that, the day that God hearkened to the voice of a man." So a man can speak on earth, and the great I am that I am, seated in the heights of the heaven, can choose to obey. What did they do that they became popular? How did they become so mighty with God? You are living for donuts and peanuts and hair ties and ice cream. You think life is all about pleasure. Have you not noticed that the things you loved 10 years ago, you don't remember them? It's a waste of a life. There are things you do that you become an immortal entity walking on the earth. While you walk on this planet, you are like a spirit. When you speak, spirits are mobilized. The angels walk according to your word by the instruction of the Holy Ghost. And even demons flee because you show up. When you read the stories of these men, it begins to show you what life is about. Life is not about getting a job. And nobody is saying be irrelevant. But while you are on the job, you are a witness in that territory. There is something in heaven that should flow through your life. Your life should be an open vent that transmits the dimensions of Zion. But what do you do to get to that point when God can flow through you like a tap? The way of the patriarchs. How did they live their lives? And I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are. We're actually praying right now. In your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I wanna be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory.
In your presence,
that's where I always want to be.
I just want to be with you.
The way of the patriarchs. How did the fathers live their lives?
The question I always ask myself is, what if I was the first man and the Holy Ghost decided to write my life as a compass for others to look at and live? What would it be like? On Monday, I'm in Niger bed gambling. On Tuesday, I'm in the movies. On Wednesday, I'm in the market looking for food to stock for the next week. On Thursday, I'm hustling for an interview. On Friday, I'm in the club. What would have been my life? Does it occur to you that the things you read as scriptures, some of them are the life of men? The way you wake up and live your daily life, the life of other people were documented for you and they were called scriptures. Their life is the breath of the Holy Ghost, because scriptures are actually the breath of God. So these guys came into alignment to a point where every step they took was God breath. They were inspired to talk, they were inspired to live. Even where they lived and couched themselves as their niche was inspired by the Holy Ghost. So they don't go to Abuja because it's a place of green pasture. Where they lived was by the Holy Spirit. How can a man come to such a his life should be studied. And this kind of life they live was the life that Jesus was compared to live when he came to this world. If you check the life of Jesus, at every point it was either according to their utterances or according to their ways. Jesus had to become the son of Abraham because Abraham caught something in the spirit. The Son of God had to become the son of Abraham. His life compared the way Jesus' life would go. Men spoke and their lives became the compass that Jesus must follow. If he must do the will of the Father, then he must do what they said, because they became one with the Holy Ghost. The patriarchs, there was a way they lived their lives. And if you don't x-ray it carefully, you may live like a vagabond. Because you will not even come to a point where you will think one day your life will be reckoned. Hope you know. I hear things like freedom. There's no freedom in this kingdom. You live according to the will of the king. In a kingdom, freedom is a degree of your alignment with the will of the king. The will of the king is the definition of freedom in the kingdom. So if you are not consistent with the will of the king, there's nothing like freedom. In Romans chapter 14 verse 8, the Bible said, if we live unto the Lord. Even if we die, we die unto the Lord. There's no freedom in this kingdom. That thing telling you to declare independence is rebellion. It's called the Luciferian rebellion. It is the nature of the serpent that is beginning to manifest through your life. You were not designed to be free. You were designed to be God. So you live according to his ways. And his ways is the true definition of freedom. The patriarchs, there was a way they lived their lives. The Bible spoke concerning Abel. It said Abel provided a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So the summary of Abel's life is a life of sacrifice. It was Abel that pioneered the way of sacrifice. It was the life of Abel that revealed that what is accepted before God is sacrificial living. He did not just give an offering. He made a statement in the spirit that man is supposed to live sacrificially unto the Lord. So if you have not come to a point where your life is a drink offering, as far as the economy of the mortals are concerned, you will not be relevant. Because one of the patriarchs pioneered that possibility in God. You know, nowadays people are taught irresponsibility. So they pervert the doctrine of grace and say they have forgiveness in Christ. Nobody is arguing it. But if you know you have forgiveness in Christ, you should have known the love of God. Because forgiveness is a projection of the love of God. And the love of God constrains us from iniquity. So if you have not known the love of God, you cannot know the forgiveness of God. I was telling them in the morning, I told them most people cannot even repent. Because repentance is a product of brokenness. And repentance is an economy that takes place in you when the revelation of the cross is made manifest to you. If you have not known the revelation of the cross, you can't repent. That's why you come to God and say, Lord, forgive me, I will not lie again. The next minute you are lying because you have not repented. You repent when you are broken. And you are broken when the revelation of the cross is revealed to you. So they talk about forgiveness, they don't know it. They talk about Abel. It was Abel that revealed to us that there was something called manifest righteousness. The Bible said because of what he gave, the Lord bore testimony concerning his gift. The life of Abel is a proof that God can boast about humankind. That means it's possible for a man to attain the standard of God by the help of the Holy Ghost. You can come to a point where God will say, have you seen my servant Job? Because if you check him out, there will be no point where he will be guilty. Abel's life, God himself testified concerning Abel. You don't need to go and ask people about Abel. If you want to know about Abel, when you go to pray, God will tell you, I have somebody on earth, his name is called Abel. The Bible said God testified concerning Abel. How can a man get to a point where it is God that brags about him? It is the way of sacrifice. You come to a point where you learn perpetually to drop your will and take the will of the Father. Very few live like that. It is called the way of the patriarchs. That's why their lives became chambers of mysteries. When you want to know, understand mystery, you just check their lives and you see the things they did, and then you stumble on mysteries. A man gave to God everything until God began to testify concerning his life. To what degree do you sacrifice yourself to God? Is the way of the patriarchs. They knew how to live. When you study their life, you see the true meaning of living. Abel. Abel revealed the meaning of trust. I wish I have time. You know, we don't have time. It's not a Bible class. So we can't open a lot of things. Abel revealed that trust is a proponent of sacrifice. If you really trust God, you can give God your life and go and sleep. The Bible said he gave of the firstling. That's the choicest part of what he has. The first, it's not just the first fruit. It is. Let me look for the right word. Imagine if, you know, when you receive, you gain your certificate, you get a job, and then you give your first salary. That's first fruit. But when you give your certificate, it's first link. What really produces the best is what you present to God. Because you have come to a point where you know that it's God that runs your life. Abel's life was a definition of trust. What it means for a man to trust a spirit that he cannot see. That's how the patriarchs live their lives. You wonder why they are so relevant. Every other person is struggling for what to do. You are waiting for God to speak. If God speaks, you overtake all of them. Because you have become God's business. It's a mystery a lot don't understand. Because everybody is running, you are running. Okay, relax. He told Isaac, stay still in Gerar. People were running to Egypt. Think it's a land of green pasture. He said, stay here. And that same year, the Bible said, Isaac cultivated and he got a 100-fold return. Not because the land was fertile, but because he has understood the economy of trust. Things don't seem to work, but he waited. There was anxiety, but he waited. A man who doesn't understand how to die to flesh can never trust. Trust is not a function of the mind. It's an experiential statement of death to flesh. Is a life of sacrifice. The strength of the life of Abel was sacrifice. But very few live sacrificially. That's why we don't look like the fathers of the gospel. It's called the way of the patriarchs.
We need to keep this thing down so that it will sink. You will look and check your life and know every area of selfishness and surrender it to Jesus today. That's how to become relevant with God. Every area of selfishness robs you of the best of God. Because you can never experience the best of God until you surrender the best of you. It is your all that commands the best of God. The devil comes to deceive you to skip some away from God. It's foolishness. You don't understand the life of Abel. It was Abel that revealed that a life that is sacrificed unto God becomes an eternal life. The reason Jesus became the proponent of immortality is because he laid down his life. Before Jesus ever carried out that feat, Abel demonstrated it. Sacrifice is the key to immortality. Immortal relevance is a function of sacrifice. Anything you bury here on earth in the name of God, you gain 1,000 times in eternity. It was a revelation of Abel's life. The Bible said, even while he was dead, he speaketh. That kind of person never dies. You can't shut him up. When this life go away, there is something about him that keeps talking. Did you read about Dorcas? When she was dead, Jesus came, her good works were still speaking. Such men live after death. It's a life of sacrifice. Say, this one, see the clothes we are wearing, she gave it to us. It was on the strength of her sacrifice that her life was restored. Sacrifice is the key to immortal relevance, but very few understand it. A man who lives for himself is a man that lacks understanding of immortality. It's not just about the finished works of Jesus. When you get to heaven, who are you? You must make up your mind to be popular among the immortals. You ancient Zion's king will cry out, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign. You ancient Zion's king, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Do you know why people are so selfish? You organize a program, they come because they know the man of God has something to offer. They come with their problems. They see the ministration of the Spirit, they are rolling everywhere. But immediately that meeting is over, they can't even wait to stack the chairs. The meeting from whence they were healed. They don't care how the man of God put the meeting together because they are people of self. That's why many can never receive the best of God. They run because there's something. When the man of God comes, they have all the expectations. They want him to move in power to do this, to meet their needs. But they don't know that God has a need. The patriarchs were men that first of all sought what was in the mind of God and they lived to satisfy it. It is in satisfying God that their own needs are satisfied. It is a system of relevance in the kingdom. Is the way of the patriarchs. The fellowship will never grow, not because God is not there, but because men are selfish. So sometimes we organize programs, we sit people down and challenge them so that their paradigms can shift. You will leave the meeting, you have only 5 people here laboring with you. Every other person that came will run away. They came to meet their needs. They don't bother about God. I love it when I follow the Holy Spirit. I was in Ibenidion 4 days ago, up to yesterday. Those who had heard my messages, they came, they were expecting the fire everywhere. The Holy Ghost said, instruct them about the way of process. So we kept it quiet. We were talking like this. Some were sleeping, talking like this. When we finished talking, I said, good evening. It was on the second day, the Lord said, talk about priesthood. And we came and everywhere was on fire. Some people who came in the morning didn't come in the evening again. And that was when God was giving mantles. They now heard that something happened. They thought they came in the morning. God said, talk to them about information trafficking in the system of the Spirit. So I began to teach them how to cooperate with the Spirit of God. What kind of thing? And then in the evening, some didn't come. It was a healing service. God was healing people that had food poisoning. They couldn't walk. They brought them to the meeting. They were jumping.
We had digital miracles. People called their people at home. A lady's father at home was healed of diabetes. Sugar went down. Somebody has called the father. High BP went down. Somebody has called the mother who was paraplegic and paralyzed. She got up and began to run. They came for their appetites. The Holy Ghost dribbled them. You ancient Zion's king, cry out, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's king, Kadosh, Kadosh. This life you are living, who gave it to you in the first place? You want to become so wise on earth. What you call emotion. Did you know the system and the intelligence by which emotions are created? The one who planted the emotion knows the best reason for it. Now you are living for your emotion. What if you didn't have emotion? The ways of spirits. Only men of sacrifice travel far enough to find it. It is called the systems or the ways of the patriarchs. How did these men learn, know so much? They were wise. There was no doctrine to study. There was nothing to read. How did they understand so much? Men pioneered ways and orders that for eternity they are relevant. How did they come about so much understanding? No wonder their life is characterized by orders. These men live perpetually in the presence. They were men of prayer. If God say go to a loring, as they reach a loring, the first thing they do, they plant an altar. Leave a loring, go to Abuja, as they are landing, they plant an altar. Because they know the day they are separated from the mind of the Holy Spirit, they are dead. No wonder they were so wise. If you are coming for a meeting, they say talk about law, you carry concordance, you gather all the scriptures on law, then you sit to think like this. Let's say first, love is kind, love is this, love is this. You think it's about the brain. You see a preacher who is living in immorality. He will come and say, righteousness, you must be holy. When he's shouting, it's like you are hitting something on a cymbal. Can't. Nobody. He's talking righteousness. People are sipping juice. He doesn't know that first of all, it must be walked into him to be walked out. Think it's by shouting. Righteousness. Which righteousness? The one you don't know. Say you must be on fire for God. When he goes home, he's on PS2 force. He has seasonal movies that he's watching. Or he talks to a lady for 4 hours. And then he comes and says, you'll be on fire for God. Which fire? Do you know the fire of God? It is the way of sacrifice. These were the things the fathers pioneered. They will be relevant for eternity. For eternity they are relevant. Then we heard about Enoch. The Bible said Enoch walked with God. Imagine, how does a mortal man walk with a spirit? How? And this is the man who lived in the seventh generation after Adam. God had been separated from humankind. What did he stumble into that he knew it was possible for a mortal entity to walk with an immortal spirit? He said Enoch walked with God. And on the strength of his walk with God, the Bible said he was not. And it's not like it happened by coincidence. The Bible said the guy spoke about it. He said, God will take me. We say we are preachers. Even when we are going for a meeting, we are not sure what God wants to do. Here is a man that has become a master of the mind of God. He knew. He said, God will take me. In this world, me, I will not die like you. God will carry me from this world. How do you know the mind of God so much? That's a man that can tell his tomorrow. He will tell you what will happen tomorrow. He knows he will not die. He understands the mind of the Father. He said he spoke, he bore testimony that he pleased God. This guy will walk on the street and say, I please the Lord. I'm not afraid whether God is angry with me. I am well pleasing to God. How did he get?
connected. People are teaching about translocation, bilocation now. They think it's a matter of doctrine. Go and read all the doctrine. You will not move an inch in the spirit. Translocation is not doctrine. It's life. It's a waste of time. Talking rubbish because you have audience. Who taught the doctrine of translocation? He said Philip was in Samaria. He preached Christ there. The city was filled with joy. And God had a need of bringing the gospel to Africa through the Ethiopian eunuch. And he said the Spirit of God carried him to the desert. When he finished with the man, the Spirit of God carried him to Asoka. This is life. It is a provision that is available for men that walk with God. And it's on the system of that intelligence that rapture will take place. Who told you it's a doctrine? It's an operation of men that walk with God. Translocation is for men of intimacy. You don't have intimacy with God. You say, who told you it's a doctrine? Go and read, do this, do that. Is it you are joking? You are joking. Elijah walked with God. He said, today, God will take me today. Are you okay? What are you talking about? Take you where, from where, by what means? But when the hour came, the guy walked across four cities. And then he went to the exact location where God will carry him from. Is that doctrine? How do you find that in doctrine? It's an economy of intimacy. He knew the spot where the airport was. And when he came there, he was carried by a whirlwind. It's intimacy. We can talk, so we talk a lot of things. Wasting people's time. You teach certain things, you turn people's gaze from Jesus to manifestation. All these fathers never pursued the manifestation that worked in their lives. They pursued God. Those things are byproducts. Did you ever see Jesus teaching healing? That you want to heal like this? They are byproducts. You gather people for 3 days conference and you are teaching them how to teleport. It would have been better they prayed in tongues for 72 hours. Some of them, the chambers of their soul will open. And it will help them more. Because the man you are teaching teleportation, that man is an immoral person. That man is a proud man. Those are the things the Holy Ghost is dealing with in his life. And you are telling him about teleportation. What Enoch pioneered was a revelation of the day to come. We are actually entering that day now. That's why a lot of people are having the experience and perceiving it. But the people that are walking in it, they didn't walk in it because they studied the doctrine. It was the Holy Ghost that brooded upon their hearts and brought them that light because they walked in intimacy. We have terrible encounters. If I tell you, I'm not yet mature to say it. God, I'm careful for God not to be angry. The things we've seen in the spirit, the places we've gone in the spirit. I said, doctor, why do you think books like the books of Enoch were not part of scriptures? The Bible is the summary of Jesus' life and his kingdom. So anything you read turns your attention to Jesus. You don't spend 7 years trying to walk or cause people's leg to grow. Healing is perfect. Bilocation, translocation, perfect. The church will need it because of the warfare that is coming. So that many can be brought into safety and many will become masters of this operation. But it's not something we go and sit down for weeks and show people do this, do this, do that. No. Teach people the way of intimacy. And when that time comes, they can fly in the spirit. Anything you learn about the spirit realm that is not coming out from your intimacy with God will become your God. And you will be lost forever. That's why Jesus called some of them workers of iniquity. They pursue things for their vainglory. They pursue things for their appetites. Go and read the chronicle of encounters and scriptures. Everybody that walked in it. Elijah, who walked in it, was teaching righteousness and judging the land of iniquity. He was not doing a teaching on translocation. Elijah walked in this dimension so much that when Ahab was looking for him, Obadiah said, what sin have I committed? You want me to tell Ahab that you are here and then the next thing we call the Spirit of God will carry you? The guy was popular in that operation. They knew him. He traveled by it. Elijah don't need cars.
That was his life. It didn't happen the day God took him. The Bible said in 1 Kings 19:45, it said, and the hand of God came upon Elijah, and he outran the chariot of Ahab, even unto Jezreel. That was his natural transport mode, and he was popular in it. But he never taught it. Elijah was the proclaimer of righteousness, judging iniquity and with the ways of darkness. But walking in those dimensions was a function of intimacy. I am not talking against the operation of God, because I know translocation is part of the revival that is coming. But I'm telling you, emphasis should be laid on intimacy, not a doctrine that leads not to Christ. Philip that walked in it, the Bible said Philip was in Samaria. He preached Christ and the city was filled with joy. These guys understood priorities. Elijah's emphasis was righteousness. Philip's emphasis was the person of the Christos. They knew priorities. If intimacy is your goal, you will walk in dimensions you cannot imagine. Those were the ways that men like Enoch pioneered. He said Enoch walked with God. Everything that will make him walk intimately with God, he committed his life to it. That's why you will stop some friends. You were close with them, you live in the same environment, been together for 10 years. But every time that lady comes, he gist you about, he brings gossip. So the Holy Ghost say, quit Janet. So for 2 months you are praying. People don't know what you are praying. You are praying for God to help your heart, because the Holy Ghost say what? Quit Janet. The friendship has ended. You are on Facebook, you post one thing, you have 2,000 views. And then the Holy Ghost say, quit Facebook. You wake up in the morning, you want to check your likes. It's as if they are choking needle on your tummy. You will carry it like this. You will lose your peace. You will drop it. You will carry it, lose. You will off the phone and drop. After 30 minutes, you will carry the phone, you on it, you off it back. But if you want intimacy, what will happen? You will die there. It's the way of the patriarchs. When they say a man walks with God, that man is a mobile dead man. Everything he does is carried by the Holy Ghost. That's why the Holy Ghost needs to carry them, because they don't have a will to carry themselves anymore. They only go to places where God wants them to go to. So they are carried. That's why it's men of intimacy that walk in the stranger dimensions of encounter. They can't carry themselves to do anything again. They are dead men for God. The instructions used to be many. I told them how I was a football fan. I was an Arsenal diehard fan. As at 2002, we were downloading. Those days you have one cafe in the state. We will go and buy time from Q, because they will even teach you how to browse. You will come and write Arsenal history. And then you will print. You will print everything. You will go and cram it before you enter the studio. If they want to play any match, you will go and write Arsenal versus Barcelona, and all the records, you have it. So when they are talking, you quote what happened in 1968. You quote what happened in 1991. And then suddenly, he said, no more football. This man was called Sky White. You know, when you watch ESPN, there's an analyst in ESPN called Tommy Smith. When he finished analyzing, he will now say, this is Tommy Smith worldwide. He was a worldwide analyst. So me in that studio, they called me Sky White because of I'm a record keeper. But the Holy Ghost came and said, no football. I died. And every day we are still dying. We are learning the way of death so that we can enter into intimacy by all means. I had a damsel. Oh my God. Oh my Jesus. If you see this lady, if she comes here, even the ladies will look at her 2 times. I don't know the favor that came upon me before that lady said yes to me, considering my ugliness. But this lady loved me. And one day, I left a prayer meeting. My soul was high. You know, there are certain instructions God will not tell you until you go to a high energy level. The Bible said, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. There is a place you come in the spirit before you hear the next instruction. I didn't know by what means I was plagued to attend that meeting that day. It was a curse on my life. But it was for good. After the prayer, we prayed until our souls cracked. And I was going home. And then a light came out of the wall. As I stood in bewilderment, the light was walking into me. And he said, leave Chidera. You will see my power in your life. Who? I thought power was doctrine. You don't know why you read all the books about power, but you don't see power. Leave Chidera. You will see my power in your life. You know what? The dimensions of God, there is a way your soul needs to be aligned to conduct it. Because your soul is a conductor. When you read the doctrine, the Holy Ghost will come with the instruction, because it's when you come under government that you can give expression to the laws of the government. It took me 4 months. I cried every day. I would go and carry her picture and look like this. I started arguing with God. But I've never touched this lady. I don't have anything to do with her. This lady is a good girl. But what? You know, the Bible says, produce your cause. Bring forth your strong reasons. The way of intimacy is difficult. Those were the things that made it difficult for me to travel far in God. They were idols. Idols. When you want to journey into God, those things that connect you to the world, they pull you out. Have you not noticed when you want to pray? That's when everything that you are connected to begin to come to your mind. There are strings that trap you to this physical world. So when God wants you to go high in the spirit, He begins to cut off all those strings. And then a time will come when it will become easy to travel in the spirit. You come to the place of prayer, and when you have stretched for 3 hours, that's when you are charging. That's when you are charging. There's nothing the devil will use again to pull you away, because those cords have been broken. It's called the way of intimacy. Enoch walked with God and was not. It was a generation of perversion, a generation of darkness. It was popular to walk in evil and iniquity. Everybody was serving all kinds of gods. Every form of darkness was upon the landscape. It was more popular to serve devil, the devil, than to say hallelujah. And that was the time when Enoch decided to die to everything. And he stood with God. So he became the signature of intimacy. A man of intimacy is a man of encounters. A man of intimacy is a man of wonder. The life of Enoch is characterized by wonders. And Enoch showed us that wonder in the spirit is housed upon intimacy. Walking in dimensions of glory is not a function of doctrine. It's a function of intimacy with God. The spirit that you are sucked into can manifest to you anytime. The apostles prayed. They said that you may stretch forth thy hands. Do you know the hands they were referring to? It was their own hands. They had entered intimacy to a level where if they touched the sick, it was God touching the sick. A point came when Peter could walk through the street and his shadows could traffic dimensions of glory. People were healed because his shadow touched them. God had been mingled into him so much in intimacy that everything that projects from him was a dimension of God. Take me deeper, deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper, deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. How I love to be deeper in love. Take me deeper, deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper, deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. How I love to be deeper in love. Listen, my emphasis is not a bid to talk down on doctrine. I'm a master of doctrine. But I'm showing you the organic dimensions of reality. Doctrine will show you the will of God. Doctrine will show you the mind of God. But the ability of obedience comes when you align with the Spirit. It is the Holy Ghost that animates the Word of God. I told them in the morning, even the name of Jesus will be useless unless the Holy Ghost animates it. The Word of God will be useless unless the Holy Ghost animates it. They had the mind of God that they were supposed to leave Egypt, but they left Egypt. Egypt was still in their heart. All of them perished in the wilderness. All of them. Because they had no relationship with God. It's not enough to say no more football, no more clubbing, no more pornography. If you don't come into intimacy with the Holy Spirit, you will go back there. The things you deleted from your phone, you will go back and download them. Because your action will be based on impulses. And impulses are feelings. They fluctuate. The security is in your intimacy with the Holy Ghost. very few have a relationship with the Holy Ghost. Because a relationship with the Holy Ghost begins with rules. It begins with commandments. Yes. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. God begins relationship with you with commandments. Because you are full of garbages. You came with anger. You came with pride. You say you love God. They give you the microphone to lead prayer. And you begin to walk like this. Especially when you say, Lord, heal the sick. And three people run out that they are healed. Then suddenly you walk like this. You came with garbages. The garbages are too many. Before you go deep, he will hack it. He will chisel it out of your life. No, that's the work of instruction. And that's when you become. Transformation is a product of your alignment with the Holy Spirit. Transformation is a function of your progressive obedience to the progressive instructions of the Holy Ghost. That's where it becomes a bit deeper than doctrine. It is the Z coordinate. It is the experiential dimension. It's the way of Enoch. The way of Enoch is the way of intimacy. The way of intimacy. The way of Abel is the way of sacrifice. The way of Enoch is the way of intimacy. And then the Bible spoke about another patriarch. His name is called Noah. You know, you are taught faith now that declaring it will be established unto you. That's not all faith is about. Faith is not all about receiving from God. There's a faith that rejects. There's a faith that sacrifices. There's a faith that brings intimacy. Those are the dimensions I'm showing you. It's called the way of the fathers. The dimension that Noah pioneered is the dimension of the reverence of God. Reverence. It's in church that you see arrogance. Somebody is leading the praise and worship, and the step is dancing. Is what he learned from one video that he saw on YouTube yesterday. And then he's dancing. He said, "It's my body. I'm praising the Lord." There's no reverence. The first thing that Noah showed us that reverence does for a man is that reverence causes a man to run away from the world and to align with the commandments of God. He said, when God spoke, out of reverence, Noah moved and built the ark. If it is difficult for you to obey God immediately, there is something lacking in your life. It's called the reverence of God. The reverence of God. These are secret, very salient dimensions of life that the fathers lived. Most times we don't pay attention to these things. We just come to church, shout. People are shouting everywhere. It will not change your life. If you check, you have gone to many meetings, you fall down. Even in the morning, people fell down here. And we didn't even need to shout. We off the keyboard, people were still falling down. Falling down is a system in the spirit that God uses to bring about creating new things within you. And oftentimes it is because the distraction is much. That was why he put Adam to sleep, so that he can bring the Eve out. So most times when God wants to do things in your life that your distraction will not let you, in the meeting you are slain. So we don't talk against falling down, but we are saying it's beyond it. Because even if God creates something within you, the management of it, the stewarding of it, is a function of the revelation of God that you have. Noah pioneered the way of reverence. You know, the Bible said, by it, he became the righteousness that is of God. He became the heir of righteousness. So Noah was actually the one that revealed the system of imputed righteousness. It was Noah's life that revealed that it is possible for a man to become righteous without works, because he became the offspring of righteousness. Righteousness was imputed into him, but his life was characterized by reverence. So you hear people today who boast about that they are the righteousness of God. If you don't have reverence as an operational model, you don't know what righteousness is. Because the man that pioneered the way of imputed righteousness was a man of perpetual reverence. He ran from iniquity at the very slightest commandment. Imputed righteousness works within the ambience of reverence. If you don't have reverence, you don't know what the meaning of righteousness. This was the way Noah pioneered. You and I today are the heirs of righteousness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, the Bible said, he made him that was without sin to become sin for you, so that you and I can become the righteousness of God. It is the technology of imputed righteousness, but it will never find expression in your life until reverence becomes the way of life. If you know that the Holy Ghost is truly within, your life will become a perpetual life of reverence. That's what will regulate your talking. Have you come to that point when you say something and even you yourself become afraid? You know, Kai. It is a sign that God is within. And men that have this understanding are men of reverence. It will determine your relationship with one another. That was why he was called a just man. You know, to be just is different from being righteous. From here to the university, maybe the fare may be 70 naira. And then you call a bike man, and then the bike man says 50 naira. But you know the fare is 70 naira. Because he told you 50, if he takes you there and you pay 50, you are righteous. Because you walked by what? The terms of reference. But if you are a just man, you will give him 70 naira even though he said 50. Because you know he's not aware. That's where being just is different from being righteous. But only men who are men of reverence are just. They know the mercy of God. They don't exploit it. Because they also know that God is a just God. They don't do what they want every day for God to be forgiving them. They know when they sin, the Holy Ghost within is grieved. So because they don't want to grieve the Holy Ghost, they subject their bodies continually. So when God moves on account of these people, don't be jealous. God is not a respecter of person, but God respects spiritual laws. The guy doesn't want to offend God, and then you are living like a vagabond, and then you want God to respond the same way to two of you. It will be unjust. You don't care what you wear. You are coming to church. Everything about you is exposed. And they say, I have freedom. I have liberty in Christ. You are not just. If you are just, you will know that there are some brothers who are weak. God is still helping them. So you will not become the object of temptation. I'm not even debating about the appearance of a harlot yet. But I'm talking about deeper things. If you have justness as a nature, you will be conscious about the other person. Paul said, food given to idol cost me nothing. He said, but because of the faith of my brethren. That's a man that understands the technology of reverence. That's how the fathers live their lives. So the heaven, they are a marvel to heaven. Even when God looks down on earth, God himself marvels at them. How did they understand these things? Because these are the revelations of the nature of God. God is a God of sacrifice. How did this guy come to a point where he understood so much sacrifice that he's willing to give his best? Hope you know it's because God is God of sacrifice that he was able to give Jesus for your redemption. Jesus went through hell, but the sacrificial nature of God will not let him rest. Because that price must be paid, he did it. So when God sees a man living sacrificially on earth, he marvels. How come a fallen man understands this? This is the way of spirits. How did you know it? You become the friend of God. The way of reverence. Very few know it. That's why you cannot be wise in the things of the spirit. Because it's available only to those who fear God. He said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear is not the study of scriptures. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Job 28, the Bible reveals all of the dimensions of wisdom. How it cannot be accessed in the realm of mortal men. He said they went to the sea, they didn't find it. They went to the nobles, they didn't find it. Nobody had access to wisdom. It was separated from among men. He said, but the gate to wisdom, in 28 verse 28, he said, it is the knowledge of the holy. The fear of the Lord is what transports you from the possibility that is within humankind into the possibility that is within the God kind. Wisdom is not a commodity that men can access. Only spirits have it. But if you become a man of reverence, you can touch
those spirit substances. It's the way of the patriarchs.
That's how the fathers live their lives. These are not set of rules, but these are organic living. Experiential living, because there is a want for God in your life. Abraham pioneered the way of obedience. The way of obedience was pioneered by Abraham. He said God called him to go to a land that he did not know. He was called out of his kindred. He was called out of his family. He was called out of his nation. As if that was not enough, he was sent to a land he didn't know. How do you obey such an instruction? So for Abraham, faith is a function of obedience. For Abel, faith is a function of sacrifice. For Enoch, faith is a function of intimacy. For Noah, faith is a function of reverence. For Abraham, faith is a function of obedience. It is the way of the patriarchs. That's how they live their lives. That's why they don't shout, but when they speak, heaven hear. If they speak, heaven hear. Abraham grew so much in stature that Abraham will be going to war. He doesn't need to consult God. 5 kings mobilized themselves against a nation, and Abraham stood up with only 318 men to pursue 5 kings that have already subdued 2 nations. What audacity is that? For David to go to any war, even if there are 10 people, he will need to consult with the Urim and the Thummim to find the mind of God, because it's risky not to secure the mind of God. But here was a man that journeyed in obedience until he gained stature. He knew that he cannot, things cannot go wrong with him. He pursued them, he defeated them, collected everything they took, and then he returned it and gave back to the kings. And they wanted to give him. He said, no, don't bother. Lest you will say you made Abraham rich. Such audacity. It was informed by his obedience to God. The guy obeyed God to a level where he jeopardized his identity and his complete existence. His name was abrogated from his nation. His name was delisted from his kindred. He was deleted from his family to follow a God that nobody has talked about. He was in the hall of the Chaldees. It's a place of darkness. Which God is it that is coming to talk to me, and the first thing he wants me to do is to denounce everything that defines my essence? And then he obeys, not knowing where he was going or what will happen to him, and he carried his sons, moving in tents from place to place, jeopardizing his life and the life of his children. Yet he obeyed. I see a lot of people who don't want to obey God, but they talk about big things. You don't inherit things in the kingdom. You don't inherit possibilities. You walk it by faith. Even the things that are available to you in Christ, you must walk it out. He said, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. There is no dimension of God that you will manifest today that you don't pay the price for your soul to walk in it. You don't pay the price to make it available, but you pay the price to walk in it. You have power in your spirit, you have anointing upon you now, but you will never walk in it, because your soul can't touch it. Your soul has been educated by darkness. You will pay the price of alignment for your soul to be able to touch it and walk in its reality. One of the ways is the way of obedience, and that was what Abraham pioneered. This man became so mighty in God that he was called the friend of God. He was called the father of many nations, and he was called, a whole region in the spirit realm was willed to Abraham. The gateway of obedience. Some of us, our life is a progression of different sets of disobedience from morning till night. See, if you know how to be relevant, your prayer points will change. Sometimes you kneel down and you pray for mercy for 3 days. Sometimes you kneel down, instead of asking God to help you, give you money or something, you will ask God to help you to know him or help you to obey him. Because everything God gives you will finish. The only thing God gives you that doesn't finish are the things that have immortal signatures on them. Things like life. The people Jesus healed, even the ones he raised from the dead, they died again. The things God gave you 10 years ago, where are they? The only things that you can carry through the gate of eternity to the next generation, the next life, are the things that you walked out by the way of the Spirit. And those are the things many don't live for. We come to God with all kinds of appetites. If God wants to do business with you, he will first of all destroy all those appetites. Those things that motivated you to come, no problem, come. But all of them, you will die to them. Until those things don't matter to you again, you can never be relevant. Abraham came because he needed a child. He followed. God, first of all, dealt with him until the child was no longer his priority. God became his priority. That's when the child came. And in order to prove it, God demanded that child from him, and he gave that child without thinking twice. It's a sign that the appetite that brought him to God, he had overcome it. It's the way of obedience. You can never be mighty with God unless you do these things. There are many things we hear that fascinate us. They don't add anything to our life. I always tell people, I know what to say in 10 minutes everywhere scatters. But I do certain things because the Holy Ghost commands me to. Hear these instructions and live by them. Some of you need to take these messages again and hear it. Because you need to become relevant with God. There are many things God wants to do with your life. You are the one hindering him. Many. And if you travel enough in this corridor, you will discover your natural advantages are not an advantage in the spirit. If you are not careful, they will become your biggest disadvantage. Maybe you are an orator, so you think because you are an orator, you'll be a preacher. God may put you as a cleaner for 10 years. Until you come to a point where your confidence is no longer in your oratorial power or your oratorial dexterity, that's when God can speak through you. You think you are intelligent. It's not given to man that walketh to order his step. Not in this kingdom. There's a wisdom that cometh from above. It will malign everything that is of the flesh in your life. The way of obedience. And then Moses. That's the last one I'll talk about before we begin to fly. The life of Moses. That's one of my best characters in scriptures. The intelligence that defines the life of Moses is so amazing. I did a teaching last week about the dynamics of spirit life. And I used Moses as a case study. You see, for you to travel deep in God, there are certain operations that are set in motion in your soul. Those things are designed to draw you into the secret place. It was graphically mirrored in the life of Moses. One of them is what I call the economy of burdens. You know, you just come to a point where you suddenly you start getting troubled about God, about serving the will of God. You start getting troubled about certain things you are doing. What's going on? What's going on? It's the economy of burdens. If you are taught how to walk in the spirit, and you attend and service those burdens very well, those burdens will lead you to the place of encounter. You know, for Moses, a point came when he realized that Israel was not supposed to be slaves. And he knew the role he was supposed to play was to deliver Israel. So every day he was troubled. He left the palace, he comes to stay with the Israelites. The Bible said he bore their burdens. This was supposed to be a prince. Something had begun to trouble him. He doesn't know what it is. This thing troubled him to a point where he saw an Egyptian dealing with an Israelite, and he killed the Egyptian immediately. He didn't correct the Egyptian. He killed the Egyptian and buried him. And the next day he came, he saw two Israelites fighting. He said, no, that's not the strategy now. We are supposed to mobilize to kill the Egyptian, not kill ourselves. And the people say, who made you a judge? You know, by ordination, the guy is a judge. But he had not been made by God. That's the crisis of most of us. We have this knowing that we are prophets. We know we are prophets. We know. But you see, God, among men, God have not made you. So when you try to carry out the services of a prophet, the people will resist you. They will fight you. They will say, who made you a prophet? Because when God makes a man, there are signs that backs him up. Say, who made you a judge? The guy was supposed to be the judge over Israel. In fact, the Bible spoke about Moses. He said he was the first king of Jethro. That means the Israeli clan, Moses was the first person that God anointed as king from heaven. That was why it was Moses that taught them laws and ordinances. It was Moses that gave them the status of God. He was the one that defined the destiny and the race called Israel. It was his prerogative as a judge. But he went because a body was troubling him. He didn't understand the technology of servicing a body. When burdens come to you, the first thing you are supposed to do is to align and service that burden by the Holy Ghost. You begin to sense a burden for you to preach the gospel. Don't jump on the microphone. Go to God in the place of prayer until the possibilities and the operations, the instruction, the mandate are clearly given to you. That is when you will be effective. Because people are not changed because we talk. People are changed because we can witness. And witnessing is a projection of the workings of the inner life. If the Holy Ghost doesn't walk through a man, he can't witness to people. It's not a strength of the dexterity of your speech. It's a function of the supply of the Spirit. And only men that the Holy Ghost have walked himself into can provide witness. So Moses sensed a body. And on the strength of that body, he moved in the flesh. God, there was no time from heaven anymore because Israel had only 10 years more to stay in captivity. So actually there was urgency. There was an alarm in the heights of Zion for Israel to come out of captivity. But the way to go about it is not the way of the flesh, because there is nothing done in the flesh that can satisfy the claims of divine justice. Until it is done from the womb of the Spirit, it will not suffice in the calendars of heaven. Moses did not have this understanding. He moved in the flesh. So challenge came, he had to run away. It was when he went to the desert that God began to teach him the way of the Spirit. It was in the desert that he began to attend to the burden of being a deliverer over Israel. The guy carried sheaves. Instead of seeking green pasture, he was going to the edge of the mountain. And he climbed the mountain. There was a cry in his soul. When you attend to burdens for a long time, a point comes when the spirit realm begins to unleash and you can hear the whispers of God. And when God speaks, then the mandate is given, the strategy is given, and the empowerment is given. There is no calling upon your life until the mandate is given, the strategy is given, and the empowerment is given. You will be ordained from eternity, but to manifest in time, you must receive the mandate, the strategy, and the empowerment. But all of that will happen when God sees your reasonability to attend to the burdens that he puts on your heart. Such was the story of Moses. He attended to the burdens until a point came and the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the strategy is not to kill the Egyptians. The strategy is to confront Pharaoh so that the gods of Egypt will be judged. So when God came in Exodus 12:12, he judged the gods of Egypt, because the things that were happening, the slavery and the captivity of Israel, was not just a function of the wickedness of Pharaoh. There was a Leviathan in the belly of the Red Sea that was maligning the destiny of Israel. God said, tonight I will descend and judge the gods of Egypt. So the first strategy was to judge Pharaoh and the gods of Egypt. When the gods of Egypt are judged, the second thing is that the land of dwelling is not the land of Egypt. There is a promised land that was captured in prophecy. You will carry them from this land, even though Egypt had been incapacitated. And he carried them and journeyed through the Red Sea to the land of promise. And he said, the ability to do it is not in your muscle. You may be bigger than one Egyptian and kill him. There is another giant in Egypt that you can't fight. The strategy is the empowerment that comes from the heights of Zion. And this rod that you carry in your hand will become the rod of God. That's when your destiny begins to make meaning. When you begin to attend to the burdens of God in your spirit. It will take you to the lonely place. It will take you to the quiet place. It will take you to the very silent place until your soul becomes still, where you can hear the voice of God. There are lots of people talking without empowerment, without strategy, and without mandate. Did you not read about John? The Bible said he was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth. And when John showed up, there was no trial and error. Who are you? I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Isaiah prophesied 800 years before John ever appeared on the landscape. But by the Holy Spirit, he knew the one Isaiah was talking about was not anybody in Israel but him. I am the voice. He identified who he was in the spirit and the role he was supposed to play according to the alignment of divine purposes. I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. There's no trial and error about destiny. Why are you baptizing? The one that sent me, the same said unto me. Baptism for John was a strategy. The same said unto me, upon whomsoever the Spirit of God will descend and rest, he is the Messiah. It was his strategy of identifying the Christ. It's called the way of ordination. You are living life by trial and error. How many lives do you have? At least you are not a cat. They say cats have 9 lives. So you can afford to gamble with 10, with 7 rather. There are 2 more. You have 1. The technology of burdens. And it was on the strength of burden that made Moses to pioneer his own way. Moses pioneered a strange dimension of faith. It's called the faith that rejects. That type of faith is no longer taught in the church. Every time they teach us about faith, is how to call and have. Moses pioneered a strange order. It was a faith that rejects. That faith is what we reconfigure your soul until your soul becomes a perfect traffic and transmitter of the dimensions of God. If all you know is the faith that receive, you will be full of appetites that are of the serpent. Until the economy of the faith that rejects begin to work in your soul cannot be sanitized. Moses rejected a lot of things. The Bible said when he was come of age, in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 24, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Do you know what that means? What gave Moses relevance in Egypt was his connection to Pharaoh's daughter. On the strength of his relationship with Pharaoh's daughter, he was one of the princes in the courts of Pharaoh. Everything that gave this man influence, he rejected it. It's a kind of faith that is no longer obtainable on the landscape. And that is why men don't have power with God. You would think Moses was losing because he was rejecting being a prince in Egypt. But a point came in Exodus 7 verse 1. God said, behold, I have made you a god unto Pharaoh. You are not just going to be a prince in the courts of Pharaoh. You will go to confront Pharaoh as a god. The difference in rank was a function of his rejection of the world system. He said he refused the pledges of Egypt, which is for a season. The way of the patriarchs. That is how they live their lives. You know, most times, because some of these ancient doctrines are no longer taught, you need to carry the Bible for yourself and beg the Holy Ghost to help you open it. Because the things the fathers did that made them who they were is not the same thing they are teaching. They come to tell you faith as a doctrine. Meanwhile, they learned faith by experience. Some of them went to the mountains and they spent days there in fasting and prayer. It was when they were descending from the mountain that an angel appeared to them. But they come to tell you, speak and you will receive. Some of them, their knee is like the knee of a goat. They knew how to kneel down for 15 hours, praying in the spirit, until something happened to their soul. That one, they don't teach that one. That one is only the Holy Ghost that makes it. I can tell you everything I've learned, but the things that make me, they are a product of my encounters with the Spirit of God. And you can only find it if you read my stories. They are deeper than doctrine. They are organic realities. How do you see why we are reading books of men, quoting them, but we don't see the results they have? Because the things they really did, they are not taught. Moses learned the way of rejection. And nobody compelled him. It was the body for satisfying the will of God that made him reject Egypt. He rejected influence. He rejected everything that made him relevant in the courts of Pharaoh. And he went to the wilderness from a palace. How many of you can make that decision? John was the son of the high priest. But he went and dwelt in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth. He was supposed to become a priest in the order of Abia. But there was something pulling him to the womb of life. It was deeper than everything he understood. Some of these things they couldn't explain it. You will call them and say, what is wrong? The guy can't say. The burden is so much. God say, abide there still. Your father say, are you mad? I wasted money on you to do. The guy cannot explain it. How can the son of a priest go to live in the wilderness? Because there is a Messiah that must be announced. Before the days of John, after the days of Malachi, there was darkness in Israel for 400 years. There was no prophetic voice. How would this guy journey through that dark canopy until he will find the voice of God in the spirit? There was no man teaching about the voice of God. The voice of God had become scarce on the landscape. How will he know the voice of God? Even the priests that were giving the ordinances in the temple, they didn't even know the ways of God anymore. He had to be separated from the civilization completely for him to come to a point where he can break through the cloud of darkness that sealed the land. Did you not hear, read about Jesus when he came? The Bible said in the land of Zebulun, in the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentile, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. At this time, because there was no prophetic voice anymore in the land, the whole land was besieged with darkness. That was the land John needed to pierce through to find the voice of God. The only way to do it is to reject the systems of the world. It's an order that Moses pioneered. That for you to be relevant with God, you must reject the systems of this world. The world that educates and builds you, you have no capacity to correct it. You cannot be a witness to a system that trained you. Something different must happen to you because you need to sustain a new set of ideology and philosophy, and that will not be obtainable in the system that trained you. You think like the system that built you. Why do you think Moses thinks differently from the children of Israel? He was in the wilderness. God carried him through very obscure processes. How can a prince who lived in the palace all his life suddenly become a shepherd, carrying sheep from place to place? God was teaching him how to enlarge the boundaries of his heart. God was teaching him how to lead a generation of people that behave like animals. God was teaching him the way of patience, the way of meekness. A point came, the Bible spoke about Moses. He said he was faithful in all of the house of God because he knew how to tend animals. He said he was the meekest of all men that live. This man rose so much in rank in the spirit that Moses would tell God to repent. He had known the ways of God. He had become a master of the operation of the spirit. God wanted to blot out everything about the lineage called Israel. He said, Lord, repent. How do you want it to be heard? That the great God, you delivered them from Egypt and you destroyed them in the wilderness. It is not consistent with your will. How can a man come to a point where he begins to remind God about his nature? He had walked in the path of rejection for long. You cleave to your appetites, you go nowhere. They will become your grave. These men had one ambition, to be popular among the immortals. Their goal was to be relevant in heaven, so that in the days to come, Jesus will look upon them and say, well done. Paul said, I have finished my course. All is left for me now is to receive the crown of life. The things that motivate you are not the things that motivate them. If it's a car that motivates you, if it's a job that motivates you, you cannot reject this world. That dimension of faith, you can't find it. But if you want to be relevant, Moses has shown us a new order. It is the way that rejects Egypt. And the things you reject, God empowers you to judge it. You want to fight iniquity and you are a slave of iniquity, you are joking. You want to fight demons and you are a slave of demons, you are joking. You will be afflicted. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar, drawing in to where you are. No wonder men like Daniel were so wise. I studied the life of Daniel and I wonder, how is it possible for a man to be in Babylon and reject the pleasures of Babylon? Babylon is a system of this world that understands the way of appetites. Babylon is the only system that can take you away from the place God has planted you. You know, when they left Egypt, they were in Egypt because they carried themselves there. They confronted Jericho because Jericho was on the way. After they entered the promised land, Babylon came and removed them. Babylon will not fight you before you become a prophet. When you become a global prophet, that's when Babylon comes. Babylon is the strongest system of this world that corrupts the souls of men. You can survive Egypt, not Babylon. Because Babylon waits for God to complete your process before it attacks you. It is that strong. It is Babylon that makes a man of God to fall on the lap of a prostitute. It is that strong. You know, Egypt deals with you when you have not known God. You are still a babe. You are in the world. Babylon will wait for you to become a full, mature Christian before it comes for you. How can Daniel live in Babylon And they said they sought an occasion against him, and they found none. In all of his ways, he was righteous. In all of his ways. The only thing they could hold on to against Daniel was in his relationship with his God. The guy studied the life of Moses. It's called the way of rejection. He knew how to reject the world. He said they will not defy themselves with the king's meat, the portion of the king's meat. They will not defy themselves. Because the king's meat was offered to idol. They said they will live on vegetables for 10 days. Check them out. They are better. And the day came when the testimony of Daniel was read. It was not read by a Christian, so you will not think it's exaggerating. It was the hidden queen herself that recited the life of Daniel. He said, there's a man in thy kingdom, in the days of thy father. Hey! Oh God. What a way to serve the Lord. He said, in him dwelleth the spirit of the holy gods. It's not just the spirit of the holy gods. Because they studied the guy's life, he was a separated man. You could not find anything against him. So it was an economy of the operation of the Holy Spirit at work in him. Hope you know Jesus did not stand and defended righteousness because he was a strong-willed person. It was not a function of discipline. It was the spirit of holiness that was at work in him. In Romans chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible said he was declared to be the Son of God through power by the resurrection of the dead by the spirit of holiness. That was the same economy Daniel was working with many years before the coming of Jesus. How did he enter into so much depth with God? He said, in him dwelleth the spirit of the Holy Ghost. See, light and understanding is found in this Daniel. Excellent wisdom, for he has the ability to explain hard sentences. He was a spectacle in Babylon. Even the gods of Babylon judged him, and they discovered there was no one in his class. You couldn't fight Daniel. The best thing you want to do to such people is to destroy them, because every attempt to get them corrupt will not work. A man who have mastered the faith that rejects the world cannot be corrupt. If you like, go and throw him in the midst of corruption. He will change the system. It's the faith that rejects. Many are not taught the faith that rejects. We say we are men of faith, and all we do is to receive from God. You can never advance the kingdom. That's why the kingdom suffers in our time. Many talkers, many churches, yet little happening. The Bible spoke concerning the 12 disciples. He said, these be the men that turn their worlds upside down. It's not a function of number, it's a function of rank. Where do you speak from in the spirit? Where have you journeyed into by intimacy? How far have you gone in the womb of the spirit? What level of your life has been sacrificed so that the dimensions of glory can be hosted through you? It is the definition of meaning among the immortals. Where have you traveled to in God? For Abel, his life was sacrifice. For Noah, his life was reverence. For Enoch, his life was intimacy. For Abraham, his life was obedience. For Moses, his life was the rejection of the world. It is the way of the patriarchs. But very few walk according to those economies. We just call upon the name of the Lord every day for our appetites. But God looks to the earth and is looking for people that can carry his glory. Because what you fell from was not need and want. What you fell from was glory. He said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the God. So what God wants us to hold and to walk in is the dimensions of his glory. And the life of the patriarchs have become frontiers through which we can peep into those possibilities in God. For God is not a respecter of person. Any man that chooses this very rigid protocols can walk in the same dimension. Most of the things we study as doctrine are not doctrine based. Most of the experiences that we study as doctrine, they are functions of our walk with God. But many are not walking with God. And that is why God is scarce in our world. The sons of Eli understood all the ordinances of priesthood, but they never walked in the powers of priesthood. A young boy called Samuel showed up, and because he had the fear of God, the Bible said not one word from Samuel fell to the ground. He said because of Samuel, the hand of God was perpetually against the Philistine. Because of Samuel, it was Samuel that stood in a dry season and said, these things I've said is the mind of God, but because you think I said it for my gratification, now it will thunder from heaven and it will rain. And rain began to fall in dry season. These men, when they speak, the integrity of God is committed to it. That's why God did not say, I hearken to the voice of the righteous. He said, I am the Lord that confirmed the words of my servant and performed the counsel of my messengers. They are men that have understood the ways of the Spirit. Most of us, all we have with God is imputed righteousness. That is why we are where we are. Demons can still play over our dreams, manipulate our head, and deal with our operations. They can make us slaves of sin because we have not understood the things that makes men in this kingdom. They are very rigid protocols. They are legalities in the realm of the spirit, and every spirit obeys it. Even in the demonic, they obey the principle of intimacy. If you become intimate with a demon, you can manifest his dimension. Even in the demonic, they understand the laws of reverence. Every spirit you are reverent to will manifest through your life. Their laws, their precepts. Most of us, the problem we have is because we know God as Father, and that's all we know about him. So we are always children. Every day we ask and beg for bread. You need to travel to a point where you know him as a judge, because as a judge, he judges iniquity. You need to come to a point where you know him as a king. The Bible spoke concerning Cain. He thought it was God all the time, and when he slew his brother, God showed up from heaven and said, where is thy brother? He answered carelessly. He thought he was talking to a father. And the Bible said, the blood of thy brother is crying to me from the ground. The one that was speaking at that time was the judge of all. At those times, God will interact with him by laws and precepts, by ordinances and by protocols. The voice of thy brother is crying to me from the ground. You need to know the judge. You need to know the king. It's the king that makes us to sacrifice our lives, and then we understand that it's the most honorable thing to do in the kingdom. He's not just the father, he's a judge. He's also a king. And men of relevance, men of standing and men of rank in the world to come are men that know him beyond the father. As a father, he sent his son to die for your sin. But when you come into the kingdom, there are new legislations. When you come into the kingdom, the economy of reward is now based on works. Before you came, the Father provided the Son so that you can receive eternal life. But in the kingdom, there is a reward. The reward system is based on works. And only men of alignment can walk and touch those dimensions in God. Can you pray to God tonight? We have lived as beings of times, creatures of time, beings of appetite, pondering not what is in the mind of God. God has a need, and only mankind can satisfy that need. Shatatai. Elekasu Bresatila. Periatatina. 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 River flow. River flow. Let it ever flow. In your church once again. Let it turn into this spirit. River flow. Overflow, let it turn overflow in your church once again. Let eternity be spirit. Overflow, overflow. Let my heart become an altar, an altar, an altar of sacrifice. Oh, bless the Tataya. Silicatea, 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 Silatoa, Toa, Toa, Tobe la Suria, Adadadadas, Adadadadas. Adadadadadas. Hey, 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 hey. Amen, amen. Hey, Cotorina. Zili le la di la de la dia. Zili la di la de la dia. Ali la de, ali la de, ali. Ali la de, ali la de, ali. Hey! Zili la di la di la de la dia. Zili la di la di la de la dia. Ali la de, la de, la la de. Ali la de, la de, la la de. Ali le 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 le. Le 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 le
Alila Kavina Dunidaya, Alila Zunidaya, Danila Dabina Pia. Hey! Ila Latina Zane, Ile Vila Kabarina Tina Zane, Ae Latina Tina Tia, Atina Tia, Atia Tina Tia, Ia Lila Kavina Tia. Ale asomani natina de, ale lakasuni ale libizani, abari rata e ate lava bizana. Omela mela bizani. Aela libizana. Aela Nimitana Kalilala Sidani Halilana Kalilala Kalila Silinana Ila Lilinana Sadalila Linana Ele Kabela La Sule Vili Sae Kameli Kazula Vina Vili Dani Ehi Kaila Kazuzila Manila Ele Kazura Pani Kazuzila Zana Ele Kazumele Kazila Vili Sae Aela ela hilai, aela ela hilai, alila hilai, ala lila lili hilai.
Tia, arata kome, tele sa tava toa, tateila, kaila tava hosu. Talila lili sana, tarala lila lili sana. Hey, hey, hey. Dalila lilizana, amalila lilizana, alila lilizai, alila lilizai, alila lilizai, alila lilizai, ila balila lilizai, ila balila lilizai. Ila balila lilizai, ila balila lilizai. Aila lama sulizaya, aila lama sulizaya. Alila sila balizaya, alila zanizaya, alila tanizaya. Hey, hey, hey! Hola, hola, hola! Kakaya takaba, ila la la tasome la haila. Can your cry ascend to the heights of the heaven? Can your cry ascend to the heights of the heaven? Thank you, Father. We don't have time. Yaba Satyata Kaisko Fahida Sariapatas Kapiat Setetas Krafatis Kaprahazalas. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen, if you can, stop praying. And please don't be distracted by those on the floor. We are in different locations now in the spirit. In the natural, we are all in this auditorium. But in the spirit, we are in different locations. So don't be bothered by what the next person is doing. Just focus. Right now, the Holy Ghost wants to anoint people. Watch us. Watch us. Watch us. Keep us of the gates of righteousness. Keep us of the gates of righteousness. We are ready, Lord. Our hearts are open. Let your hand descend. Begin to place it. The mantles. The mantles. They are enablement. Can we be calm? Wait. Can we be calm? See, you've built yourself up in your most holy faith. Wait now to receive. It's time to drink. Help the sister, please. Some people want to run around. It's a turn of the spirit. Just be focused. Be focused now. The prayers have ascended already. The Lord is anointing people. Watch us. Keep us of the gate of righteousness. Holy Spirit, from my left to my right, from the front to the back, touch down. Casting crowns, lifting hands, bowing heads, it's always come to do. Casting crowns, lifting hands, bowing heads, it's always come to do. This anointing is for dead men. Adonai, it's an anointing for dead men. Keep
listen. I hear in my spirit. The next two operations God wants to do is to heal the sick and to anoint people with the oil of healing. Two things at the same time. Father, in the name of Jesus, I challenge every affliction in their lives. Blinding devils, deafening spirits, spirits of infirmity, challenges of the eyes, the ear, organs of the body, the blood, the bone, growths in the body, lumps in the breast, lumps in every part of the body. I put you in the name of Jesus out of their bodies. I command every spirit of infirmity. I arrest every spirit of infirmity. And I command you out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. And so, Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God. Lord, anoint them now. Those that you are giving healing mantles. Those you are anointing with oil for healing. Those you are giving the spirit of healing. Those you are giving the ministry of healing. Holy Spirit, right now, begin to anoint. Touch. You are the covenant keeping God. You are Yahweh.
Glory to the Father, you are seated on the throne.
Alleluia,
alleluia. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Father.
Wait. Just stop the sound. Stop the sound. Stop praying. Then there's an evangelical fire that is about to descend on somebody. I just saw a quick vision in the spirit. There's an evangelical fire. I don't want it to be an emotional thing. Shut every sound. There's an evangelical fire, a strange fire for power and revival about to fall on somebody. This person has been trusting the Lord. I just saw a quick flash in the spirit.
Holy Ghost! Find that one! Holy Ghost!
It's an evangelical fire. It's an evangelical fire. Thank God for what God is doing with her. But I saw the vision of a man.
Holy Ghost! Where is that one?
Touch!
Baratas, we are the angels of fire. Baratias, Kobriatata, Zeligabash, Herondo Satea, Talisk, Parika Pataba. Where's the evangelist? Ante Kasuta Kaya, with the flames of revival. There's another method. Lord, let that one take it now. There's another method. Flames
of revival. Flames of revival. I commission that one in the name of Jesus. Find that one out, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Somebody's hand is about to begin to vibrate uncontrollably. Vibrate uncontrollably. Lord, who is that one? Vibration. It's a strange operation of the spirit. The right hand, it's about to vibrate by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go ahead and give the Lord thanks. Most of you, because you were under this ambience, you are implicated for service in the kingdom. You will go and something will go with you. It will be a strange hunger for God. You can't explain it. You are implicated for service. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As you go check yourself, you discover you'll be healed. Tomorrow morning we'll take the testimonies. We don't have all the time tonight. You are God. You are not just big, oh. You are not just kind, oh. You are the great God. You are God. You are not just big, oh. You are not just.
Can you just lift your hand and appreciate God? The Lord is taking over the affliction of a family. There's been a yoke of delay. It's an affliction of the devil. Father, as you brood over us now, that family that you are addressing the challenge of setback, just brood over us, Lord. And that one who is standing here as a representative of that family, whom you are using as a point of contact, Father, touch that person, touch that person, touch that person, touch that person. That's the power of God. The yokes are broken. Help the sister. God is ministering to the family. The one at the back, help her too. He's trafficking into families to break yokes. To break yokes. To break yokes. To break yokes. And three yokes of sickness is lifted. Most of you, you go home and call your loved ones and you discover they were healed. They'll just tell you the affliction left. Yokes, terminal diseases, organ infections, persons whose relatives, fathers, mothers, brothers and sisters are sick because they are here, Lord. Let there be a gangway in the spirit created to cause a connection. In the name of Jesus, I judge affliction. I judge it. I judge it. Let the flames of God's fire travel to the families. The flames! The flames! I challenge evil. Some of you, your soul is being purged. New sets of appetites are being given to you now. Lust is dying. Lust. The demons coronated over you, they are living now. And I command every spirit of lust, every spirit of iniquity, every spirit of darkness and bondage, out! I judge you. I challenge your oppression by the rod of a higher priesthood. I command your yoke be broken right now. Let the power
powers of iniquity be broken. Deliverance from secret sins. Deliverance from oppressions of the devil. Deliverance by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. Hey.
Come on. My goodness. I'm seeing pain leave somebody somewhere like the knee region. Pain just leaving. I'm seeing somebody with pain around the pelvic. A young lady with pain. Somewhere close to your pelvic region. It's like an infection or something. It's going. In the name of Jesus, I challenge it. I challenge it. I challenge it. I challenge it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Can you make a fresh commitment to the presence of God? Fresh commitment. You make His presence your place of dwelling. Fresh commitment. Can you make a fresh commitment? Those things that have taken His place. You are proclaiming war against those things. Rebellion against everything that draws you from the present. There is a place where my heart cries for love. There is a place I am yearning for. It is a place where deep calls to the deep. I am overwhelmed by this deep yearning, Lord. Take me, Lord, to that secret place, Lord. Let me see your face and your glory, Lord. Make it a commitment. Make it a commitment. Make it a commitment. Thank you, Father. Never again will you remain the same. Your life changes forever. Most of you, the Lord will give you a new heart tonight. Your life changes forever. Affliction shall not rise again. Your life changes forever. It changes forever. Never again would the devil be correlated over your person. You are a changed man. People will look at you and say, "Is Brian also one of the prophets?" They will look at you and say, "Is Lucy also one among the prophets?" The Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you'll be changed into another man. You'll be changed. It's a ceremony of transformation. It's a ceremony of transformation. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Listen, there's somebody God has anointed here as a strange healer. I need to say this so that you know that you must have to put your faith to work. This person I'm talking about, you are sensing a sensation like a dripping oil. Down your hand or somewhere around your head, oil. Who is this person? It's a strange operation. There's a strange anointing for healing. But the Lord will help me tell you, because you need to put the faith to work so that you will walk in its fullness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let me see your face and your glory, Lord. Let me know you more. Thank you, Lord. God, let that oil rest and sink and walk in it. Walk, walk in it. Walk in it. I'm hearing in my spirit, somebody saw a vision of him casting out devils. While the prayers were going on, you saw yourself challenging darkness. This person, I think it's a lady, from what I can't catch it clearly. Who is this person? You saw yourself challenging as if you were conducting deliverance somewhere. You are the one? It's an empowerment night. Father, I stand as a witness in time, and that which you have done, I establish it. I establish it. I establish it. Take!
There's somebody else that you felt a sensation like as if it's an ice block or something. Something very cold around your chest. Very cold. Something very chilled on your chest or something. You felt something like that? Come. You're a minister of reconciliation. As you speak, the heart of men will melt. And God will use you. But he will teach you the way of largeness of heart. It's an operation that has begun. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There are many things that have happened. We don't need to run the commentaries for you to believe. There are many things that have happened. But whatever it is you've caught, you've sensed the same thing. Glory to God. You don't need to sense anything. Just go home and walk by faith. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Lord will have you serve. I see the Lord connecting you to a man to walk under him. It will take a period of 3 years. When you are done serving, then the Lord will settle you with a work. And he will cause sons and daughters to come to you from afar. I'm seeing you walking and serving a man. Don't allow your heart be lifted in vanity. Do you have a witness of these things? The Lord will help you. The Lord will help you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just lift your hands and worship God. Somebody is receiving sounds, new sounds from heaven. Sounds. This person is somewhere around the right hand side here. You receive sound from heaven. Sound. And then you have a witness that that operation will soon begin very strong in your life. Who is this person? Sounds. More like a psalmist. What, the person I saw is somewhere. Okay. Come. But you can come too. The rule is that you won't defy your body to walk in it. That's the rule. I will pray for you to help your faith. But the rule is that you won't defy your body. You heard the sound too. You were somewhere up here. Because I picked the signals from this way. But it doesn't matter. God will. You will go into a covenant not to defy your body. Because your life is becoming an event. The effect of sound is beyond worship. It creates resonance effect between earth and heaven. It is by the system of sound that you can enter the portals of Mahanaim, where the armies of Zion become one with the armies of the Ethereum. When you get the right sound, heaven and earth becomes one. It's a technology. And it's one of the tools God is using for the revival to come. Why am I sensing that somebody felt something in the middle of your leg? I think your right leg, if what I'm sensing is correct. See the way you match something in the middle of your leg, and then you felt something from there coming up towards your leg. Who is the person? This one is somebody God wants to send on missions. Okay, you. God wants to send. There are strange sensations. And imagine he's wearing a big boot. God wants to send you on missions. Missions. The Lord will teach you to be of a strong character. Because if you enter the nations of the world, there are many laws. May you not be found wanting. And in the days to come, fly on the wings of eagles. Blow like a mighty wind, Spirit of victory. Cover us with glory. Oh, you sense the same thing? You will turn, don't worry. The gates of nations open to you. The gates of nations. The gates of nations. The gates of nations. I don't know. There's a lady. This person is a bit fair. You sense as if there was. You know this thing, you cry for long and then there's tears settled in your eye. And then you feel something pepperish a bit. And then you felt that pepperish sensation or something. Somebody bit fair lady. I have sensed it in the spirit. It's a prophetic operation. Prophetic operation. Your eyes open in the spirit. Who felt something like a bite on the tip of your index finger? As if something just beat you there somehow. These are strange sensations. I'm just speaking these things here and there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Hi. Everything you need, you have been equipped for it now. You have been equipped. 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 I'm just hearing now that pain left somebody's back. Very sharp pain left somebody's back. Maybe you came with pain. Just check. I just heard that pain left somebody's back. The lower part of your back, close to your waist. I just picked it now. That pain left. And most of you, as you go home, just check yourself. A lot of things. Who is the person? The lower part of your back, close to your waist. I just heard that pain left. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Never to return again. God is anointing you for healing too. This one, we cast out devils. Cast out devils. Cast out devils. The oil of intercession rests on you. Resist strength by the Spirit. Resist strength. Resist strength. Resist strength. Did anybody send something on the tip of your finger? I think something caught you or beat you quick. Who felt something like that? It's a strange. They are very salient operations. You sense something. I see something just beat the tip of your finger. You sense it. God is activating encounters in your life. Yes. You are not ready for it. Oh, God is you know how they poke somebody. It's a poke. I just saw as if something beat the person on top of his finger. It's a poke. God is activating seasons of encounter. Go and start fasting and praying. If you were sensitive, you should have heard it by
yes,
now.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
God has told you already. When did God tell you?
That for a very long time.
That you should start fasting and praying. And it was emphasized this night. Yes. It's a season of encounter is about to open for you. Father, help him. Help him. Help his faith. 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 Did somebody feel something like a pain on your right ear, not your left? On your right ear, particularly on the lower part of the ear, not the tip of the ear, somewhere down here, you felt something like a pain, a sharp pain. As if somebody was being healed or something. Yes, a right, somewhere down here, you felt a pain. Yes, come. These are the ones that will begin to hear whispers. God wants to give you the gift of word of knowledge. But you see, the Holy Ghost will govern your mouth from now on. You will not talk because you feel like talking. A new law will be set in motion on the strength of what is coming. You begin to hear whispers. You stand near people, you just know about them. You know. You will know. That's the quickening. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. I open it. I stand and I bear witness on earth. Thank you, Father. There are many things the Lord did. You heard too. No, it's a giant. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. When you go home tonight, take time to pray. There are lots of things that happen. I had all of these things in my spirit. I didn't want to utter it, but he said I had 10 more minutes, so I just decided to. But even if we don't say them, there are things we've already received. And most times we receive these things, we don't utter them because it's not a show. Not the show. And we don't need to say it for you to validate us. I wanted to go sit down. He said, okay, I have 10 more minutes. Sister, the Holy Ghost wants to begin a work of intercession in your life. Yes. It's a priesthood. It's an order of priesthood. Are you ready? Has God told you that he wants to bring you into the womb of prayer and raise you as a priestess in the kingdom? I'm seeing serpentine spirits fight your lineage. Water, lust, water. And a lot of people, their heart is a chamber of iniquity. But the Lord wants to raise you to challenge that goddess. That goddess. That goddess. That goddess. Receive the strength to judge. Receive the strength to judge. Take!
go as a warrior in the order of Deborah and judge that goddess. Fight, fight, fight. The Lord will teach your finger to fight and your hands to war. Go and fight. I clothe you with the mantle of a warrior. I clothe you as with a mantle of a warrior. Go in this thy might. The day of deliverance have come. The day of deliverance have come. If you are sensing something like a headache on your forehead, it's not a headache. Not a headache. You collided with a higher energy level. That's what is happening with you. When you go this night and pray, you will receive an encounter this night. We know how to activate encounters in the lives of people. Somebody feeling something like a headache on your forehead here. Yeah, imagine, look at. You are candidates of encounter. Don't just go and lie on the bed. No, my brother, take time and pray. The Lord have done many things. Just go ahead and give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks.